Hey, what's up, Nova fans? I'm Ryan Anderson, and you're listening to the Throw Your V's Up Wildcast. Joining me, as always, is fellow Villanova alum, Mr. Mike Matchers. Mike, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to get to New Year's, I guess, get through all the holiday bull.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to Christmas, a couple more weeks.
Yeah, you got your you got anything on your wish list this year?
You know, not really. Nothing too exciting. I haven't even really thought about it. I haven't bought one gift, thought about buying any gifts. So.
I've thought about it. I don't think I've decided on any gift. I think the other day I was in my kitchen and I realized that I need some dumb things. So I just texted my mom. I was like, I need nice measuring cups. I have the plastic ones and they freaking already, I've only had them for a couple of months, rubbed off what measurement size they are, you know, because they're shitty.
Yeah, that'll get you.
So hopefully I get some nice measuring cups and some other kitchen tools. So last time we spoke, we've had three games. We went 3-0 in that time frame, which I guess isn't that surprising. But so we played LaSalle, Penn, and St. Joe's. So we'll start back at the beginning. Two Sundays ago now, Nova beat LaSalle at the Pavilion 83-72. Moore had a big game with 25 points. One of those games where we looked very good in the first half, but we had a very long drought in the second half, and the game tightened up, but we were just better than LaSalle. So at the end, we were able to kind of pull away a little bit. Then this past Wednesday, also at the Pavilion, we again basically outlasted Penn 80-69. Bay had a career high 27 points, although he had some foul trouble, and we only took 10 three-point field goals and could not stop Penn for our lives, it seemed. They scored down low basically at will. And then finally, this Sunday, we beat the Hawk 78-66 at Hagen Arena and not the Palestra. By the way, do you know why we didn't play I don't think we're gonna play any Big Five games at Palestra this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I to be honest, I didn't necessarily realize that. I guess, but I don't know the reason why.
That's had to have happened before. I was trying to think back. I think when they switched over to this whole you can host home games type stuff, it had to have happened before. But St. Joe's usually always plays at the Palestra, so that's the one that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, and I wonder. I sort of feel like when they went away from the old kind of doubleheader classic Big Five thing, that it became more of a random occurrence to play down there.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't find a weekend.
Yeah,
you know, that worked scheduling wise. So, anyways, like I said, we pulled it out, won by 12. We should have won by a lot more. Ryan Daly for St. Joe's had 32 points. Bay had 22, Bay Beatrice had 20. We had some pretty balanced scoring. So we went 3-0. They were all, you know, I think, you know, most of the games, if you just looked at the score at the end of it, you'd say, okay, those are pretty decent wins, but they didn't necessarily feel like it while they were happening. So What's your kind of big takeaways from the 3-0 week, or what are some of your thoughts that you
Yeah, have? I mean, I think for me it was a pretty frustrating couple games, particularly the way the team played in the second half. And you alluded to the idea of sort of just surviving or outlasting. You know, if you go to the LaSalle game, I felt like, particularly in the second half of that game, I felt like LaSalle made some adjustments. They sort of felt more hungry to me. And then, you know, the inability to inbound the ball sort of really had, I think we had one or two 5-second violations a couple other times where we really struggled to get it in, put guys in bad spots. So part of that might have been, you know, the Ashley Howard effect and just knowing what we wanted to do. But it just felt like kind of that same old, you know, complete lack of cohesion and getting the ball inbounded. So that was very frustrating for me. Going back to the LaSalle game, and then as far as Penn and St. Joe's, I think in both cases it was sort of lackluster in the second half. You know, both of those games, the other team hit some big shots and kind of cut the lead down. But I just think overall, this team hasn't really put it all together yet.
Completely agree that we haven't put it all together. So when I was thinking about this podcast this week, I kept on thinking about, I always like to think about historically, you know, past Villanova teams and trying to figure out where we ranked relative to some of the other ones. So I think we both agree that last year's team is probably better than this year's team, just because I'm not going to bet against Booth or Pascal in a game, because we don't have anyone that's better than them this year, even though the supporting cast might be. So then we're not, but then you take the, you know, 5 years prior to that where we just crushed it. So then the only real, the real starting point then is like 2014. And even that team was very good. I don't think we're anywhere close to that team. So that team lost in the second round to UConn, but that was Pinkston's junior year. We were 29-5. They're probably better than us. So then we got 2013 Nova, which has JVP as a sophomore, Arch as a freshman, Hilliard as a sophomore, Yaru as a senior, Bell as a junior. That team is the year that we lost a bunch of games, but we beat Louisville and Syracuse in the same week. They were both ranked in the top five. So that's probably the next closest team to this year's team, I would say. I mean, the commonality is most of the minutes were going to young guys and not many, you know, of upperclassmen. But it just doesn't, I can't figure out, sorry, that was long-winded, but the point of it, I think that we're both frustrated at, is that I don't really see our ceiling this year being much better than we are. Like, we're going to get better, right? The chemistry is going to improve. Certain guys are going to do a little bit better. But it really doesn't feel like this team for this season is going to beat someone that we really shouldn't, right?
Yeah, I think so. I agree to an extent. I think I would probably make the argument that they're better than last year's team just based on depth and probably overall skill, athleticism. But, you know, you're kind of splitting hairs at that point. I'm not particularly thrilled with either team. So, you know, at that point, you're kind of saying, you know, the second weekend is probably out of the question, I think, for this team, unless they get lucky with a really favorable matchup, or if they just really kind of come together and get into Big East play and really start doing something that looks different than what we've seen so far. But I don't know. I'm frustrated, I think, at this point of year.
What I find so interesting is completely agree on the frustration. So normally, I think personally, I would be most frustrated with a team that can't score offensively, that you know, turns over the ball, that can't make shots, that can't do whatever. And we don't look that well, as much like a well-oiled machine offensively, but scoring, we'll get to a little bit one of our problems with scoring, but in general, overall, our efficiency numbers are great.
I think
in KenPom. Yeah, in offensive efficiency, we're 15th in effective field goal percentage. We're 30th in three-point shooting. We're 29th in two-point shooting. We don't turn over the ball. We're 68th in that. We actually are pretty good at getting offensive rebounds. We're not very good at going to the free throw line. But when we are there, we convert at a high rate. And we obviously make a lot of our deficiencies there up by the fact that we shoot so many threes. So it's just so surprising to me that they're still so kind of hard to watch. So I wonder, is like, are we just now those like jaded fans because we won for all that, you know, time, we won two ships, that we're like those asshole Patriot fans that complain about dumb stuff, even though, you know, we shouldn't really complain?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think there's probably some of that. I mean, the bar of expectation obviously is a lot higher now than it was in 2015. You know, this team in 2014, 15, 13, you know, anywhere in that range would have felt like a pretty good team. So I think there's an elevation of standard and expectation, but I also think a lot of what you talk about around the offensive efficiency is somewhat smoke and mirrors based on the teams that we've played, right? So, you know, we've had some pretty poor teams. I mean, even when we talk about this week and the fact we're talking about hanging on, you know, Penn is probably in a little different level. I mean, they're going to compete to win the Ivy League, but, you know, LaSalle and St. Joe's are both picked bottom half of the A-10. and Colonial respectively. So I don't, I think it's kind of tough to look at those games and have the stats that we put up and say, hey, you know, I feel really good about it, right? So when we played Ohio State, when we played Baylor, those games, we just looked, I think, a little bit worse. And so when you take the collective of the season, of the seven wins that we have, you know, maybe let's say six of those are against pretty poor teams, I think that can inflate the stats early on in the year.
Yeah, I do. Although efficiently, you know, KenPom's adjusted efficiency does take into consideration quality of opponent, but it still is not a perfect formula. I think we're just such a well-oiled and drilled machine offensively that even if we aren't that good, we just can execute. It's just like plug and play. We figured out how to kind of manufacture enough points that we're just going to be able to do it in a variety of different ways. And maybe that's just what all the focus has been offensively. I don't know. And all the focus on the coaching staff and development has been on offense, I'm saying, and not on defense. Because they're young guys, so he's trying to get them to learn about the offense first. And then once they have the offense, they go to defense, which could be the case. But I just can't figure out why we're not better defensively. It doesn't quite make sense to me that we are so bad. I get the idea that there are certain players, we've talked about this before, there are certain players that are good defenders, and that it's a skill, it's not just all effort, but it seems strange to me that we're not a little bit better. So one of the things I think was interesting in this three-game tilt was that we saw a lot more Slater. But even when you looked at his minutes, it hasn't changed that much, but it felt like we saw a lot more of him, right? So like maybe he's getting longer stretches on the court, or maybe he's getting minutes during the more meaningful moments of the games. But he seemed to kind of definitely take DCR's minutes, and it's kind of between him, Swider, and Samuels how the minutes kind of shake out. But I'm very happy that he's getting minutes. He's by far our best defender, and I think he needs to continue to get minutes because, I don't think offense is a problem for us. We have enough skill, guys who can score on the court, especially if we're going to play JRE at the five, so we're not going to sacrifice defense at, you know, a bad offender at the center position, then we have to play Slater more. But to your point about scoring droughts, though, so here's a crazy stat for you. In the three games we played, we've been outscored in the third quarter, so to speak, so in the second half, from the, you know, start of the second half to the 10-minute mark in each three games. We were minus 12 against St. Joe's, minus 4 against Penn, and minus 4 against LaSalle. Similarly, in the first part of the games, we were pretty bad in both the St. Joe's and Penn's. The LaSalle game looks a little different than the others. And then the second half of the first half, we've killed it. And the fourth quarter, we've generally killed it. I know this. You've thought similarly about watching the games, how we've looked. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I kind of want to go back to where you started in talking about Slater a bit. I think he's really been a pleasant surprise for me this year. I think he's probably going to continue to get better. He just looks athletic out there. I almost look at him and kind of say he's what maybe I would have hoped Samuels would become. And so I think there's a ton of upside there, and I'm glad to see that he's getting the minutes. But as it relates to the drought, I think there's a couple things. I think one, I think it's pretty well known that Jay doesn't make great in-game adjustments. We've lost several assistants over the last couple years, and so I think we're just a little bit slow to change. I think it's a couple things. I think it's that, but I think it's also a bit of just stubbornness on his part. And so I think as teams adjust during the game, they go to a zone, they go to a, you know, a 1-3-1 press, they come press and trap and get us into trouble. So those little things that we're a little bit slow to adjust, I think can lead to some of the droughts. And then I think more kind of taking away the X's and O's and just thinking about the players. I mean, we're a pretty young team, so we don't have a Phil Booth or a Pascal that we can get the ball to and just have them score. you know, baby Arch is sort of that guy, but he's, although he's been playing better lately, I think sometimes he kind of can get into droughts or he can have an off night. And so I think we're just sort of missing that go-to and that doesn't help. And then as guys start missing shots or another team goes on the run, we just don't seem to bounce back and get out of that funk as quick as we might like to see.
So baby Arch is interesting. I would like to dive into his splits a little bit more, but it really seems to me that he in that second quarter, because I'd like to focus on the second quarter for a second, because that's where we've had the most success over these last three games. That's where it feels like in watching the games, we've been pretty well, right? In my brain, it always seems like we very rarely started off hot in the first, you know, 10 minutes of the game. Seems like we're always pretty close, but we've generally had the lead at halftime, especially against some of these poor teams. So that means in that 10-minute stretch, we're doing really well. To me, I always feel like in the first half in general, but I think in particular in that second quarter time frame, that's when Gillespie is really pushing to get his points. So in the first 10 minutes, it always seems like he's trying to get everyone else involved. He's trying to be a little passive and let the game come to him. And then in that second quarter, he's like, oh shit, we're only up 2 to Penn. That's crazy. I need to do something. And then he really starts pushing it and trying to score. So I think it's pretty clear it's him and Bay are our two guys. And they're complementary and they're not quite the guy, right? I don't think either of us right now in their Bay and Gillespie right now in their careers, if you said they were the best guy in a Villanova team, you'd be like, yeah, I don't think we're really going to go that far. And that doesn't mean they're bad players, but they're just not quite there yet, even though Gillespie's numbers have been ridiculous this year. So I want Gillespie to be way more aggressive. Like, just be the number one guy. How about that? Quit trying to facilitate and do all these other things. Like, it's going to sound crazy, but I kind of want to see him try and score like 18 points a game or better, because he's at like kind of the 15-point mark. Like, just be a little bit more selfish, man.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, and I think we're going to need that at some point. But I think too that he probably is also at a stage in his development. You could see it in the second half of the St. Joe's game, when he got into foul trouble, and from the bench, he sort of became a coach from the bench. I mean, it was very reminiscent of Arch, of Brunson. And so I think what can happen with him is that he gets so caught up in keeping the other guys involved, executing the offense. He's not necessarily a guy that's just going to be like, all right, I'm the man and here's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah, it's not quite in his DNA, or if it's not in his DNA, he hasn't just figured out how to do it yet. I think he's still kind of balancing that. And, you know, you got to remember this is a different role from his year three here, but he's had a different role each year, right? I mean, freshman year, he was just the guy to come in, play off the ball and shoot threes. Sophomore year, he got some ball handling duties, but that was really Phil. So this is his first year being, you know, the main pure ball handler, creator, scorer type role. And it's going to take, you know, he's different. All these guys are different from each other. But I just think in general, I would like to see him try and score more. I think he's averaging, or he was the other, maybe on Wednesday, something like 15 points a game or something like that. I can't remember the last time we had a guy as our leading scorer, and he was our leading scorer, they said. A guy who was our leading scorer who was below 18 points a game, you know? Yep. Maybe that one year when we lost to NC State, we were really good. We were very, very balanced that year. Like, I think Dylan Ennis might have been our leading scorer something like 16. But either way, I would like to see Gillespie be a little bit more aggressive, because Bay looks the part about being more aggressive, but so I don't know how much more aggressive he can be. I think Gillespie being more aggressive would really help everyone out. So the one final thing I want to talk about is I'm gonna continue to beat my drum about my frustration with Antoine, and I really want him to get minutes. I really just put him out there, and he didn't get that many minutes in these games. I think he got 12 in the LaSalle game, but he got a handful of minutes in the other two, and he gets foul trouble. I get that. He kind of looks a little awkward when he's out there, but I think defensively he can be very, very good, and frankly, we need defense is our weak point right now.
Yeah, I disagree a bit. I don't know. I just don't think there's any sense in rushing him along. We had this conversation a bit, but he's just not in the game shape. I mean, he missed 6 months, and I get your point that he's 18 and whatever, but it's more than just the physical ability to be ready to go play. I think there's a mental component of that as well. And being out for 6 months is going to take his toll. Plus, he's learning a new system. He's definitely, I think he looks like more of a liability defensively than you're alluding to. So I just don't think he's all there yet. And I don't have a problem with it. I mean, agreed, I'd like to maybe see him play a few minutes more here and there. But as long as he's ready to go by the time we get into conference play, I'd rather just see them bring him along and make sure he's developing rather than rush him out there and potentially have him just suffer mentally if he doesn't feel like he's, you know, grasping the concepts.
No, and we've talked about it, but it's sometimes really hard to understand. We have a minutes problem. You know, we both said we like to see Slater play more. You know, Roundtree's numbers are basically, you know, just for garbage time at this point. But that still leaves us with kind of too many guys. Like, who are you going to play less, Samuels? Or are you going to play Bay less? Are you going to play Swider less? You know, it's kind of – or are you going to play Moore less? I mean, the guy's been scoring like crazy. Moore, by the way, we were harping on his two-point field goal percentage. He's back at over 50% from twos now. So it kind of gets really hard of who you're going to play or not. And especially because Jay seems to really stick with Gillespie, Bay, and JRE are going to get their minutes no matter what. He doesn't want to lower their minutes, and he frankly really can't because we need JRE to play center, and Bay and Gillespie are two best guys. So, you know, you can't really play them a whole lot less. So then it is who you get to mix and match, right?
Yeah, and I think it's you're exactly right, and I think it becomes a combination. So, you know, Swider's minutes could probably go down a bit. If Samuels continues to play erratically like he has, I think you could probably trim his minutes a bit. So I think the time, you know, the minutes are there to go around. It's just going to probably be when and if the coaching staff feels comfortable in taking the training wheels off, letting them go out and play.
Yep. Well, we got Kansas in 2 weeks, so we'll see on that game, although I can't really see them letting him get too much run in that game unless we're down big or there's weird, weird foul trouble. But you never know. So before we move on, though, let's have a moment from this week's sponsor.
Hi, this is Villanova legend Daniel Ochefu, and I'm here to talk about proper hand care during these cold winter months. At 6'11", not only am I tall, but I've got big-ass hands, and that means a lot of hand cream. My hands get dry all the time. So what you need to do for the loved one in your life that's got terrible hand problems is go to Walmart. They got a sale right now for Jergens hand cream, which is the number one selling hand cream in America. Go get yourself one of those big ones with the little squirt bottle, squirt thing at the top. Your loved one will love you forever.
Okay, and now back to the podcast. All right, so we hadn't been doing this the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to bring back the Russ Smith efficiency game.
You win the efficiency of the year award, then you're efficient.
Right.
I mean, 2 plus 2 is 4.
Although it's not only efficiency numbers, but we're going to turn the tables this year. I got a couple of questions, more like trivia for you. So we'll see if you got the answers, all right? You ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right. So we talked about our team being pretty good at shooting this year, right? We're 15th in effective field goal percentage, but who has the lowest two-point field goal percentage on our team this season?
Well, I would have guessed Moore. You just made that comment a few minutes ago, so I'm guessing I'm going to be wrong, but that's kind of where I was leaning. So I'm probably between Moore and DCR. I'm going to go DCR just because you just said a few minutes ago.
All right. Nice job, man. 46%. How pathetic is that, dude? He's a center.
Yeah, that's not good.
I can't even get over it. I was looking up another, for this next question, I'll get into it. And remind me about DCR on this next one. Okay. So, you're one for one. All right. Question number two then. So Cole Swider this year has an offensive rating of 144. For those that don't know, that's extremely high. He's not going to have that for the rest of the season. Basically, offensive efficiency at an individual level is a pretty complicated number, but it's basically like, you know, he's scoring a crap ton of points. So in the KenPom era, we have had only one other player play more than 30% of the minutes available, so a good amount of the minutes. So not just some dude who played like, you know, a handful of minutes a game, who had an offensive rating greater than 130 for the entire season. So we've only had that happen once. Can you name that player?
Well, I'm going to go with Brunson.
You're going to go with Mr. Brunson. Okay. Why was Brunson your guess?
I don't know necessarily that I have a specific reason. I just think the way he played, and I just think about kind of, you know, him getting into the lane and doing that pivot move, and just felt like he was just constantly making layups. He shot a pretty high percentage. So that's kind of what jumped out to me. But beyond that, I don't have a great answer for you.
I would say Brunson is a great guess, but is incorrect. Brunson in 2018, though, had an offensive rating of 128.5. But I'll give you a hint and give you one more guess. It was on that same team. This guy was.
Ooh, okay. DiVincenzo?
No. No. Mr. Mikal Bridges, man. 130.1. His numbers were insane. He shot 85% from the line, but more impressive than that, he shot 59% from two on 236 attempts, and he also shot 43.5 from three on 239 attempts, which is just stupid. And then he didn't turn over the ball like hardly ever. I mean, his year is so crazy; it's not even funny. So, all right, we'll give you a half point for that one. That was pretty good. So anyways, though, on the 130 thing, I was saying DCR is that DCR in 2018 was a freshman, okay? And he played only 28% of the minutes, which is why I put the threshold at 30%. And his freaking offensive rating that year was 131.1. Okay, he shot 78% from two that year. Now, they were all dunks because no one guarded him, and they were guarding all the rest of the guys. But still, it's kind of crazy how far he's fallen a little bit. All right, last one real quick here. So, as I mentioned also earlier in the podcast, Nova only took 10 threes against Penn, which was by far the lowest all season. However, when was the last time that we took 10 threes or less in a game?
You're asking for the year, or are you asking for the opponent?
Just pick whatever, man. I mean, you know, this is a crazy.
My chances are pretty slim.
Your chances are pretty slim on the opponent. So, it was a Big East team. We lost the game 73-70.
All right, I'm going to guess that it was. Well, let me ask you this. Well, let me just start. I'll guess it was last year. So tell me, okay, if, am I right or wrong with that?
You're not anywhere close. We've been shooting threes for years, too many of them.
All right. So then I honestly have no clue.
Okay. it was a random game. It was Georgetown in 2012.
I was going to guess Georgetown, but I actually thought it was the game last year against them. Just that kind of stuck to me. So,
oh, well, in the last year, so just 10 so low. I mean, I know it's hard to like know where these lines are, kind of, you know, but like the Michigan game, I think we only shot 14 last year, for example. And that just sticks out because there's games we shot like 40, right, you know. But the other thing that was crazy is that back in 2016, so I got, you know, I was trying to see if there's any numbers right around there. against Penn as well, we only took 11 threes. So maybe it's just a kind of a Penn thing that they defend us a certain way to force us to not shoot threes. I thought it was pretty effective. Anyways, just interesting that we took so many. And that was, looking at the box scores, that was an interesting trend these last three games. And we'll see if it holds up. But so against St. Joe's, we took only 17. Against Penn, we took, like I said, 10. And then against LaSalle, we only took 16. And, you know, previously, I got to look it up real quick. In the other games this season, we had shot 30 against Army, 30 against Ohio State, 31 against Ohio, 38 Middle Tennessee, 24 Mississippi State, 25 against Baylor. So it was a pretty significant departure to go down. So we'll see what the hell that's all about. All right, we got our next game is Saturday against Delaware. Not a whole lot to say about that one, I don't think. Delaware's not ranked very well in KenPom. They're 159th. So, you know, it's basically one of these. They're almost an honorary member of the Big Five, at least for us, because we play them every goddamn year. And then the big game is in 2 weeks against Kansas. So, you got any closing thoughts, Mike, on the last three games or upcoming games or anything?
Yeah, I think for me the biggest thing is just going to be, and I keep saying it and it hasn't happened, is just when we might start to see some incremental improvement. And it's really about the cohesion, I think, and playing a complete 40 minutes. So, you know, I don't care if we win by 10 to 20 against Delaware, but I just, those droughts make me mental. There was one game recently, and I can't remember which of the three games it was last week, but
I think it was LaSalle that was the bad one.
Yeah, where I feel like we didn't score for like the first 6.5 minutes of the second half, and it's, you just can't, you can't come out like that.
It always amazes me when those droughts happen how much it's like, you miss a free throw when you shouldn't. You miss like layups that you shouldn't. Like, it's always so weird how those, like, some of it is just randomness, right? Like, random crap like that's gonna always happen, and they just get bunched together. And you know, so when it gets bunched together, you're always looking for kind of like an explanation. And I definitely think there's some confidence, some just general attitude's not the right word, but like killer instinct that just isn't there yet. I guess that's part of that shit when people say like teams learn how to win type stuff. But
yeah, I mean, it's like when you need to, like, a guy just needs to take a ball, beat somebody off the dribble, and take it to the rack.
Yeah,
and we don't have it,
right? And that it basically, Gillespie's the only guy that like really kind of tries, I feel like. And sometimes he can do it, sometimes he can't. So all right, man, let's get out of here. We've been doing well, keeping it short. So we'll see you in a week.